good morning, Metropolitan. If you would please stand, let's grab our hymn books and turn to page 322. 322, stand up for Jesus. Let's sing all three verses.
Stand up for Jesus.
Together for His glory today, and as we take this time to lift up our voices and praise the hymn, I'm gonna tell you something. I was watching you while you sang. Kind of sad. I wasn't too sure very many of you were happy to be here. I was gonna say, did somebody force you to be here today, Brother Dean? Are you? You're smiling at least. I'm thinking. Are we happy to be here?
Amen.
And we have the opportunity to sing His praise and lift these voices that He gave us for His honor, for His glory. Well, that's enough of a lecture for you. Let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other. Please, church family, get around and welcome our visitors.
Let's return back to our seats and turn to 347. when the battle's over. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Am I a soldier of the cross?
Yes, we shall wear a crown.
If you would, please stand with us one more time. Let's turn to 223.
This morning's offering. Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Look at all of you, look so happy this morning. I went and got a haircut today. Well, actually, it was last night. But it's good to be with you this morning. Visitors, it's good to have you. Upcoming events. On the 19th, Ladies Fellowship at 7 p.m. See Ms. Marshall for more details. On the 30th, paintball. Please, those of you in the youth that are coming, please bring $10. If you can't provide the $10, get with me and we'll take care of that. Be here. We have to be up there at 1:15, so be here about, 12:30? If we can meet here at the church at 12:30. On the 30th, also, we'll be having a men's breakfast at 9 a.m. See Brother Allen for more details. Ladies Ensemble today at 4:30. Home Builders Activity, we're going to have a crawfish broil at Brother Jeffrey's and Miss Sarah's home on April the 6th. It starts at 2 p.m., so those of you who like crawfish, we had a good one last year, so I recommend it. Youth yard sale, Saturday, April the 13th, will be taking place in the gym. Please get with me if you need anything delivered or anything picked up for the yard sale. Evangelists Wayne and Susie Hudson and missionaries Penny and Robin Fofowina have new letters available. And TTU, the Pentateuch Session 2, has been moved to the week of April the 29th through May the 3rd. I think that's it. Anybody have anything? Yeah? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are always thankful for all the blessings you put on us, Lord. And Father, we're thankful for this building that we can come and meet, Lord, and praise you and give you the glory in all that you do in our lives, Lord, and how you use Metropolitan Baptist Church for this community, Father, to serve you and to reach those that are lost in this community and around the world. Father, this morning we pray that you be with our pastor as he brings your word. And Father, as always, you prepare our hearts and speak to us as individuals, Lord. And I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they not leave that way. Father, I pray for the offering this morning and pray that you bless it. In Jesus' precious, precious name I pray. Amen. Amen.
There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Let the disappointments come, lonely days without the sun. If through sorrow, more like you I'll become. Take my houses and lands, change my dreams and my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me today to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. That's what I'll be willing to do.
Amen. The testimony, folks. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. Lord, help us this morning. You can be turning to John chapter 12. We were actually in John 13 last week. John 12, looking at these different passages and leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is certainly one that applies in that case. If you look at this amazing event in John chapter 12, please stand with me. We'll begin reading in John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead." Isn't that a tremendous statement? "Which had been dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly,
and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, had to beg and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake alone, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Father, this once again, we just simply want to bow our hearts before you and ask you to take charge of this time. Lord, I'm asking you in the lovely name of our Savior that you'd be pleased to work in each and every one of us. Lord, this beautiful, beautiful passage, this beautiful act by Mary, pray that you'd take it, use it in our hearts today. Father, I pray for anyone that is here without Christ, without Jesus as their Savior. Lord, please do for that one. Speak to them. Deal with them concerning their need to be saved. We will indeed give you the glory for what you'll do in each and every one of us, Lord. Glory to your name. We thank you, Lord. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Of course, may be seated. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ is amazing, of course, and I love to study about it. Love to study about him. And the events of his life and ministry, they just never cease to thrill my heart. I hope it always will be that way with me. His conversations, his miraculous acts, his sermons, his story inspires. Certainly inspires me. It inspires, it challenges, it encourages all that would look to him. Look to him. Get beyond ourselves. We can get caught up, beloved, in a lot of good things in our quote-unquote service. But one thing is so important, that we simply adore Christ. Amen. That we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this event before us and in this passage, oh my, it seems that it nearly borders on being too sacred to even talk about, this act that Mary performed. But of course it is given to us that we would appreciate it, we would even enjoy it, and trust to be inspired by it. Inspired by it. This event, it's kind of a shadowy backdrop when we consider what would take place on the very next day. So Lord Jesus Christ would have that triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. But on this day, Mary performs this act of devotion in light of not his triumphant entry as the rightful king of Israel, but of his impending death and burial. Amazing, isn't it? We see the scene here in our passage in verses 1 and 2. The scene is in this village, this town of Bethany. According to verse 1, they're on their way to Jerusalem, but now they're stopped off at Bethany. And Bethany was just a short distance from Jerusalem and just up and over the rise from the Mount of Olives, about less than even 2 miles from the city. Jesus, his disciples, and it seems a rather great crowd are at the home of Lazarus and his sisters. Remember Mary and Martha. Let's read those first couple of verses again. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they, and the they, as we'll see in a moment, was his sisters, made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I don't want to get too far ahead of ours. Remember this family, Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Lord seemed to be very close to them. We're mindful of that event when Lazarus had died. And the Lord Jesus Christ postponed his coming to them, even though he was sent for. Mary and Martha were rather discouraged when he didn't come before Lazarus' death, but waited until Lazarus had been in the tomb for several days. And of course, raised, as we read here, Lazarus from the dead. And of course, the fame of this man Lazarus. Lazarus had become infamous in the area, if you will, and many came around just to see him. Wouldn't you be interested? You heard somebody had been raised from the dead. But this notoriety had its drawbacks, to say the least. And we read that there was quite a crowd at the house that day. And verse 9 tells us, much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus, see this man that had been raised from the dead. Verse 10 says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Of course, they'd already had the plan put in place to destroy, to kill Jesus. But because that by reason of him, because of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So again, we find the religious leaders, the priests and their crowd were out to do anything, everything, even the murder of Lazarus. Not only the murder of Jesus, they were willing to kill others to stop the fame, the notoriety, the popularity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we find it's supper time. One of my three favorite times of the day, supper time. And many have come around, to, as we said a moment ago, to see this one had been dead. And now they're there to check it all out. They made Jesus, they being Mary and Martha, a supper. Normally would be spoken of in our New Testament as the evening meal. And it seems that the sisters had labored together to prepare the meal. It says they, Mary at this point, is helping her sister. But then as Martha is going to serve the Lord Jesus, Lazarus, whoever else was there at the table. But we find Mary is preparing for another task. She's preparing for another task that she felt compelled to do, to fulfill. It's 6 days, we read, 6 days before the Passover. And these, beloved, are the last days of the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. The Passover was coming. And the Passover would have been the busiest time, the busiest event in the city of Jerusalem. Jews from far and wide, from the, at that point, even the then known world would have made their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now again, as we said, Jesus only had a few days left with his disciples before his death. And they should have understood that. They should have known that the time was drawing near. Jesus had spoken to this at different times. We go to the Gospel of Matthew and it two times before this evening, or this day, I should say, Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21 says this. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. That's in Matthew 16. Then in Matthew 20, verses 18 and 19, it says this. As the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And speaking of himself, he says, the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles, the Romans, to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day shall rise again. The Lord Jesus spelled it all out for them, didn't he? Indeed, exactly as he says here, he was mocked, he was scourged, crucified, of course, put in that tomb, and he rose from the dead on the third day. Wow. They should have known. They should have known. Well, we see this special act of Mary for Jesus. This beautiful special act of verse 3, it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Let those words soak in. What a statement. What a description of this act that Mary performs the Lord Jesus. She took this, what is called here, a pound of ointment. Pound of costly ointment. The amount of it, it says a pound. It's a Roman pound. It would be about the equivalent of our 12 ounces. 12 ounces. Now keep that in mind. Which had been, again, as it says, we see the as well that it was an ointment of spikenard. It was the type of ointment, a very fragrant, perfuming oil. More so than an ointment as we think of it today, it would be an oil, a perfuming oil. It was imported from the East Indies, and it was a very sought after among the wealthy for its perfuming ability. So we see the amount of it, about 12 ounces. The type of it was a oil of spikenard. And the cost of it, and as we would look down later there, we see that Judas declares in verse 5, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? We'll look at that a little bit more in a moment. Spikenard, pure spikenard, was very, very costly. And Judas, he was the money guy. He was the treasurer of the group, and he gave a value to this perfuming oil, this ointment, at 300 pence. 300 pence. Now, a pence, or what would be the Roman denarius, or denarius, was the principal, the main silver coin in the Roman Empire. And it was about an average day's wage. A day's wage for the average man. Now, 300 pence then would be just shy of a year's wages. Be mindful that a normal Jew would have worked how many days a week? Six. He would take his day off, the Sabbath day. So he worked six days, and if we average in the, or add in the Sabbaths through the year, this was very close to a year's wages. Be equivalent. Now listen to this. Be equivalent to about $2,400. That's a pretty expensive perfume by this old Baptist preacher's standards anyway. Pretty expensive stuff by today's value. And what do we find Mary doing with it? She pours it out. She pours it out over the feet of Jesus. She poured out a year's wages worth of perfume on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be mindful. Remember that it was not unusual to find Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the third time that we find recorded that Mary was at the feet of the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, we read this. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." And we're not going to go back to that passage and study it out, but a couple just key things. Where do we find Mary? At the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is she doing? She's listening to his preaching. She's listening to his word. So we realize that Mary enjoyed being at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. But in John chapter 11, in that passage that talks about the resurrection of Mary's brother Lazarus. But when Jesus came to the village, it says this in John 11, verse 32. It says, "And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet." She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Where do we find Mary? At his feet. When she came into his presence, she was at his feet. Well, it seems natural then, doesn't it? Seems natural for Mary to be at the feet of her Savior, to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again, we find her taking this ointment, this perfumed oil, and pouring it out over the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as he sat there, as Martha served him and Lazarus and whoever else was sitting there. But we find that Mary, after she had poured the oil over the feet of the Lord Jesus, then took her hair and wiped his feet with her hair. You got that in your mind? She took her hair, let it down, and wiped the oil from Jesus' feet with her hair. With her hair. Wow. Not a rag. Not even a cloth that might have been of value like the value of that perfume. No, neither one. She used her own hair. I'm thinking more than wiping the oil from his feet. She's using that her hair to wipe the oil on his feet, over his feet. What an act of devotion, isn't it? What an act of devotion. But not only devotion, certainly this is an act of humility. at his feet, wiping this oil with her hair. This is a devotion, beloved. Seldom. What have you ever heard of such a thing? We looked last week at the Lord Jesus Christ washing the feet of his disciples. And here we have Mary wiping his feet with her very hair. What an act of devotion. Again, as we said, a devotion seldom seen anywhere, by anyone, anywhere. Yet this young lady, this young Jewish lady, doesn't even seem to hesitate. She has planned this. Hold on. We'll see. She has planned this. And now she is carrying out this act. Now be mindful. A woman's hair, not just now, but in the first century and this time, it's very important to her. Ladies should be going, Miss Michelle's nodding. A lady's hair is very important to her, is it not? In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 15, where it says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." It's a glory to her and is spoken of even as a covering for her. A woman's hair is very important to her. And here Mary is taking her hair and wiping the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Well, we see the effect of all this. Had an effect, did it not, in the house. The odor of the ointment. Again, this is a very beautiful perfume, a much sought after perfuming oil. Strong. And so the odor of the ointment or this oil has filled the house. Just the essence is everywhere in the house. Not just the area around the table where the Lord Jesus was seated along with Lazarus. Not just around the table or even that room. But the entire house was filled with the odor. Consider it this way, as I thought about it, that this essence is just gone everywhere, permeated everywhere in the house. Verse 9 tells us that there's a lot of people around. Let's look at much people, it says, of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came. Again, it says not just for Jesus' sake, but to see Lazarus. So there's a great number of folks in and around the house. I'm sure that many of the curious that had come out to see Lazarus could also take in this fragrance. Maybe they were just standing at the door. Maybe they were at the windows around the house trying to get a glimpse of this one that had been raised from the dead. They couldn't help it. But to also be able to take in the fragrance of what Mary was doing. Of this ointment. Wow. She had come to do this act. Mary's act of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached this message, I don't know, 20-some years ago. First time I've preached it in 20-some years. My original notes, I had it as Mary's act of worship. And it certainly is an act of worship. But fundamentally, it's an act of service. She was providing a service to her master. She wasn't at the feet this time to hear the Lord Jesus Christ teach. No. And even though she'd love to hear him teach, as we know, she hadn't come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as she had in the previous chapter to beg for her brother's life. No. This time, she's there to do him this very, very special service. The sole purpose of serving him in this unique and very special act of devotion. Nobody else. Nobody else. Mary. What an act of submission, beloved. You know, I don't know. When I see something like this, something that moves me in such a way, I try to put myself in that situation. I struggle here. What's the problem? Pride. How many of us would be able to set our pride aside to do an act like this for anyone? For anyone. What an amazing act. And it is an amazing act displaying Mary's, a few things, her love for the Lord Jesus Christ, her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also, as we'll see in a moment, her understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we understand, Jesus was anointed the Christ in glory. He was anointed the Christ in glory to come to be man's sacrifice for sin. Here, Mary is anointing Jesus for what? His burial. In light of his sacrificial death for you and for me. Soak it in, if we will. Soak it in. She anointed him on earth as this one that would soon die for us. Die for her. Die for us all. Wow. But then, of course, there's another side of the coin here. We see the indignation of the disciples, at least some of the disciples. We don't want to spread the brush too broad. We see the indignation of the disciples. The complaint, all I know to describe it as the complaint of the ignorant. What's the word ignorance mean? To be unknowing. They didn't know. They did not understand what was going on. The complaint of the ignorant. There was an objection to this act of devotion. There was an objection to this act of service. And beloved, Judas wasn't alone in his complaint. We look to the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 14 and verse 4, his description here, it says, "And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made?" So it wasn't just Judas. He seems to be the voice, though, of those who were indignant. They complained. They complained that it was a waste. Now let that, again, please take it in. They were complaining that this act wasted the ointment. They were complaining about something that they were totally blind about. Was it a waste to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way? Was it a waste to honor the one that would soon die as a sacrifice for man's sin? Mary understood. Mary understood, and the disciples, and if I should say, the disciples had been listening, they would have understood too. They would have understood as well. Wow. They complained that this act would waste the ointment. They lobbied here that the ointment could have been used for a better purpose. And again, forgive me that we can't deal with every detail of this passage. Well, it could have been sold and given to the poor, was their complaint, were their suggestion. Judas's suggestion, of course, that would have been fine. Nothing wrong with helping the poor, for sure. Helping those in need. Jesus teaches us to help, to meet the needs of those around us. But the group, this group was missing what was really going on, were they not? They were missing the great importance of what Mary was doing, the act that she was performing for her master, for her Savior. This dear lady had made a tremendous sacrifice for her Lord. And remember this, beloved. Let me say it again. This dear lady had made a great sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is never, ever a waste to sacrifice for Christ. To sacrifice for Christ. God always honors sacrifice. Just as he does here. How many messages over the last over 2,000 years have been preached from this passage of Scripture? Honoring Mary, remembering Mary for her act of service. But we see here the difference between, I don't know what word to use, I have in the notes religious, we could just say the difference between the ignorant and the true believer. Remember, the difference is always, boils down fundamentally to a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The common denominator, beloved, is a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary loved Jesus. She was devoted to him. The religious are going through the motions of their religion. It's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to fall into that trap. Just going through the motions, or as we were saying the other night, the mechanics of religion was the problem with the Pharisees all in all. They had all their traditions. They were doing everything according to their traditions that had been handed down generation after generation. But they had no heart for their God. Certainly no understanding or love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary got it. Mary got it, beloved. There's no question that she loved her master. She loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we said a moment ago, it's never, ever a waste to give for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To give for him. It's never, ever, I don't know how to say it, it's never out of line to sacrifice for Christ. Oh yes, the ignorant were complaining. And we see the real motive here, just to touch on this, the real motive of Mr. Judas. What's it say? He's upset, bottom line. What was his situation? He's a thief. He's a thief. His motive was what? It was all about himself. Judas, as we understand, was the treasurer, as it says in verse 5, or verse 4. And let's see here. In verse 6, it says, then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He had the bag and bare what was put therein. He was the appointed treasurer of the group. He was probably upset that he wasn't going to get the opportunity to skim a little bit off of the, the money that that perfume was worth. Evidently, he was a thief. He'd been stealing from the ministry funds of the group, taking a little for himself. Judas, beloved, has no clue. No clue of what Mary was doing. Jesus has been silent, hasn't he? We see here the words of the Lord Jesus Christ finally in the situation. Verses 7 and 8 says, "Then said Jesus." First time he's spoken during all this. "Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Now is Jesus saying, don't worry about the poor? That's not what he's saying. He says, you can do for the poor anytime. But this was the time, the only time, that Mary could do this for me. He doesn't say anything when Mary bows at his feet and takes that oil and pours it over his feet. He doesn't say anything as she began to take her hair and wipe the oil around on his feet. But now, at this point, when the others begin to object about what Mary's doing, now he speaks up. "Let her alone." Strong. That's strong words from the Lord Jesus to his disciples, to the group there. Those that got inside the house where Lazarus and Mary, Martha, Jesus, these were probably those closest. Jesus speaks strongly to them. "Let her alone." He doesn't refuse the worship or the sacrifice of Mary. It's interesting. If you read through the Gospels, Jesus never rejects puts off the worship of the humble, the sacrifice of the humble. Amen. On his behalf. It was proper. It was right for her to be doing this very thing. In a few days, in just a few days, her master would die and be laid in that tomb. It was right what she was doing. The truly sad thing that Mary's the only one that understood. She's the only one, and not the least. Exclude Judas. Not even one of the other 11 understood, let alone had any part in what was going on here. They should have understood, beloved. As we read earlier, the scriptures where the Lord Jesus Christ had been laying out for them exactly what was going to happen. They should have understood. They should have all been at their master's feet. Please consider it. This, they only had a few days. And if they had been listening as Mary had been listening, they'd have known. They wouldn't have been ignorant. They would have understood. They would have known. And they could have joined Mary at his feet in adoring him and worshiping him that would soon die for them. Amen. If they had been listening as Mary had been listening. Notice it tells us here that, as we said earlier, this was planned. She had this planned. She had saved this ointment for this purpose. Jesus said, "Against the day of my burying hath she kept this."
Huh? She had this plan. Mary alone knew what was going to happen in the days ahead. The time that she spent. Now listen, all of us, including me, that are always in such a big hurry, always rushing, it wasn't a waste for her to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to Him. To hear what He said. Oh my. Friends, are we listening? Are we listening? You know, daily, Marcia and I have our time in the Scriptures together. And we pray, Lord, help us understand what we're reading. And as we have that time daily in prayer and read. But so many times I still find myself, as we're reading, and my mind's over there instead of here. My mind's thinking about what's going to happen today or what I've got to do instead of just listening to Jesus. Instead of listening. We wonder why we get caught by this or that in our life. Why this takes place, why that surprises us. If we just be listening. If we were just listening. We'd be so much better prepared. Oh my. Have we taken the time to sit at Jesus' feet? Right here. We have His words. We have His words, beloved. We can emulate Mary. We can be like Mary and sit at His feet. Are we taking the time, as Mary did, to pray at Jesus' feet? We're taking the time to worship at Jesus' feet. Do we take the time to just enjoy Him? To enjoy Him. Huh? Do you think Jesus wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him? Amen. Of course He does. This is a very sobering time, isn't it? She's preparing Jesus for His burial. I mean, she's seen past His death to His burial. So sobering. You think she ever forgot that night? Do you think? When those Roman soldiers took that hammer and those nails and drove them through those very feet that she had anointed with that oil and wipe with her hair. I mean, mindful, Mary was there. And she watched them. Put yourself in the picture. I don't know how long Mary's hair was, but as she took her hair and wiped His feet. I this is me, okay? I can picture her cheek against His foot. She wiped. Huh? Precious. So precious. Have we taken the time to simply adore Him and tell Him that we love Him.
Amen.
Thank Him. Thank Him for what He has done for us. What He did for me. Lord Jesus. Believer, let us take that time at His feet. But also, I just want to say a word to anyone that's here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please, please understand, Jesus would die for you. Jesus died as our sacrifice for sin, that sinners just like me and just like you could be saved, delivered from the judgment of our sin. I plead with you, this one who would die, died for you. Died for you. Do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you need to be saved? The Word of God simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Believe on Christ. Let's stand together. What a passage. As we began, almost too special, too sacred to even touch. Father, we bow before You, and Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name that this special word from Your word might deal with our hearts today. Thank You for Mary. Thank You for what a beautiful example she is to us to take that time with You, to listen to You, to serve You, to sacrifice for You, who made such a sacrifice for us. Lord, I pray every believer, every Christian in this room would renew our devotion, renew our love for You, our appreciation, our gratitude. But Lord, I also pray for anyone that does not have that peace, that confidence that they're saved, that they know Jesus as their Savior. Please, Lord, I'm asking You to speak to that heart right now. Give them the peace, give them the confidence to call out to You, Jesus, save me, a sinner. Might You help them, Father, even now to put that faith, that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Lord, please, I'm just asking You to take this passage today, these words, and seal them to our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus. Thank You for His love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Brother John, song 4.
Page 215.
As we sing, beloved, might the words say something to us, but as well, I pray that we consider what God said to us today. We return our gratitude and our thanksgiving to Him. Might we listen to Him? As we sing, please obey the Lord. Please do what He'd have you to do. We're here for you if you need to be saved. It's our desire, our pleasure, our honor to take the Word of God and show you how you can know the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, might we fall deeper in love with Christ? Amen. Let's sing.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Seems this is my opinion, whatever that's worth. Lord, the Word of God takes us in this passage onto some holy ground. Special ground. Special devotion. Special service to Christ. Appreciate the testimony here of Mary. Amen. Brother John, come.
Let's sing our chorus. This is my story, this is my song. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You're dismissed.